Two of the world's top models, the Hadid sisters, Gigi and Bella, confirmed earlier this year that their family had been keeping a secret. The sisters revealed that they have a younger half-sibling after their father had a relationship with another woman more than 20 years ago. And they're not the only celebrities whose families have had secrets. Mariska Hargitay, who's probably most famous for her role on the TV show Law & Order SVU, also shared that the man who raised her was not her biological father. The actress told Vanity Fair she grappled with knowing I'm living a lie my entire life. So yeah, family life, it involves lots of twists and tangles. The full facts of our lives aren't always shared with the world or with each other. So why do families keep secrets and what makes people finally reveal the truth? I'm joined by filmmaker Sue Goldfish, who was a teenager when she discovered a family secret that changed her life, and Ashley Barnwell, who investigates inherited family secrets. She's an associate professor in sociology at the University of Melbourne. Sue, I'd like to start with you. You grew up believing you were an only child.
Yes. I had a really tiny family. It was just me and my mum and dad. And I grew up in Trinidad in the West Indies, which should have been a clue. Okay. Something was interesting was afoot. But, you know, you're a child, you just accept where you are. When we came to Australia, things changed. I was 14 when we got here and I, you know, went off to school. And the first thing that happened in the kind of unravelling of the family secret was that I was asked to bring my birth certificate to school. So my mother said, go and look over here, you know, it's in a box. And I went through the box and I found something that I thought was my birth certificate, but it was my parents' marriage certificate. And next to my father's name was the word divorced.
Oh, okay. And that was a shock to start for you?
No idea. So I was enraged, as any 14-year-old would be, that, you know, my parents had this I don't know, just this sense of another life, you know, that I had no idea about. And I confronted them. It was like breakfast. I kind of remember it quite well. And my parents just looked at each other in complete horror because they knew that something was becoming unraveled. And my mother, who I think protected my father a lot, just said, you know, this is none of your business. And I went, excuse me, are there children from this other family? And, you know, my father says, yes, there is actually two children and I want to know where they are. And he says he doesn't know.
Wow. I can only imagine how 14-year-old you received that comment from your mum saying this is none of your business when you're learning that you maybe have siblings somewhere. That's crazy.
Exactly. Triple enraged. Unbelievable. But it's the start of something. It's the thing around the secret in my family, and I know there's differences, you know, in different experiences for people, but mine was like a blanket of silence. So every time they had to admit to something, it would be as minimal as possible.
So you're really kind of scrounging breadcrumbs, trying to piece this thing together. You eventually discover you have a brother and sister that were living halfway around the world.
Yeah, my dad said that he thought they lived in Canada. And in fact, when I was still a teenager, I went to the Canadian consulate and actually went looking through their phone books for another goldfish, thinking that maybe I could find them. But the way that I eventually found them is that my half-brother sent my father a book that he'd written. So part of the secret was that he did have some connection with them, but he just wasn't sharing it with me. So this book arrives and my father makes the decision to show me, and I see that the name on the book is actually not Goldfish, it's Wagshall. So they have the name of their stepfather. And I write back to Harry, you know, going, I've read your book, it's amazing, it's all about education and it's wonderful and I'd really like to meet you. And he doesn't write back. And again, everything lapses and I think, oh, this is just never going to happen. But when I'm 30, in my 30s, a young man turns up in Sydney and he's my father's grandson. And similarly, he also has been trying to track down his grandfather, his real grandfather, while I'm trying to track down my half-brother and sister. And the coming together of my nephew, Jerry, and me and my family is finally when I make connection with my half-brother and sister. And, you know, I'm still, it's just the best and most wonderful thing that could have happened.
That's really beautiful. You grew up thinking you're an only child. You've managed to find this large extended family in time.
Yeah.
What did your dad think about all this?
He, you know, he obviously was very reticent about revealing all of these parts of his life that he'd left behind, which I think, you know, he'd done very thoroughly. He'd kind of drawn a line, and I was part of his new life, and all of these other people and stories were part of his old life that he obviously didn't want to revisit. But when Jerry turned up, Manfred was just over the moon. He said, you know, he felt like his life had started again and that all these pieces were coming back together. The next thing that happened for him, and it was many years later, his daughter, who he hadn't seen since she was 8, came to Sydney and met him. And again, he was really, I don't know, emotional, and, you know, you've made me the happiest old man. And just the reconnection and the putting together of the pieces, yeah, made a big deal for him. Yeah.
It sounds like the beginning of this story was really hard for you to deal with, but it's had a really happy ending, which I think a lot of families don't necessarily get.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. It's always a risk going into those kinds of searches, but I feel like there's always one person in the family who is driven to find out sort of more detail, or the kind of richness of detail of people's lives and their connections, because it's not just finding someone, it's understanding the context of the rupture, understanding the context of, you know, all the political things that were going on that meant, you know, that Manfred ended up in Trinidad, big political things to do with world wars, and then on the other hand, this kind of personal trauma of, you know, his first relationship ending and then saying goodbye to his children and never seeing them again.
Mm. Ashley Barnwell, you're a sociologist, you're researching family histories, sitting here listening to Sue's story, and it feels like it's almost beat for beat what you're discovering when you're talking to lots of families as part of your research.
I've been totally wrapped here listening to Sue's incredible story. And it does chime with so many of the stories that I've been hearing from people who are doing family history research, just stumbling upon things, often not really, like Sue finding this certificate, not really being out to look for something, but then coming upon it and thinking, wow, this has really changed who I've thought that I was before.
When you were doing your research in family histories, you found that people kept mentioning family secrets during your research. What kind of secrets are people keeping normally?
I found secrets were very often about personal life. They were things that people felt that they couldn't share. But one of the amazing things I found is that all families really have the same secrets, which I found fascinating, because everybody is working so hard to keep them. But there's these similar genres of secrets that families have. So they might be about reproduction, illegitimacy, who you fall in love with if you're, you know, socially not meant to fall in love with that person. Different secrets, yeah.
It's so interesting you say that, because on the text line, there are people telling stories about paternity, really similar to Sue's story. One person says, my father died a while back. Before he did, he told me my sister was fathered by another man. My sister recently confirmed this. It's been troubling me since. I can't speak to my mother about it as she's unwell. Apparently, extended family were aware, and my sister has said she was treated differently as a result, which must be heartbreaking. Another person says, I'm the parent of a young child who has two siblings she's never met. Not long after we had my daughter, her father and I split up, and he quickly started a new relationship and had two other kids. Sadly, due to a huge family rift between myself and her father and his new partner, all contact ceased. I've told my daughter that these two children exist, but I haven't revealed their names. Ashley, who are the people who are keeping the secrets, and who are the people who are revealing secrets in families?
Yeah, this has been a fascinating one. I think it, you find, you know, that often people will take their secrets to the grave. So there's cases where people don't tell a secret, and oftentimes people who are finding these things are finding them in records that tell them a different story than the one that they've grown up hearing at home. But one of the things I found that was very interesting going through my data and looking at the different examples of who people said they found out the secret from, I found very often that it was aunties.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, and it was auntie. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And it wasn't just that sort of stereotype of the maiden aunt or aunt that didn't have their own children, who are often people who really have a huge legacy in a family of keeping family history and keeping all the details of the family. But it was also women that had their own children would be likely to tell their nieces and nephews things that they didn't tell their own kids. So aunties seem to play a really important role in families as secret keepers, but also that person that would sort of choose the right moment to maybe pull you aside and let you know a little bit of something that you didn't know before.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm asking if you've ever learned or revealed a family secret. We're hearing from Sue Goldfish, who discovered a family secret that she's made a film about, and Ashley Barnwell, who's a sociologist who's researching family histories and keeps finding secrets along the way. And so many people texting in. Casey says, of course parents keep secrets from their children, even grown-up ones. People have different values, and children, even adult ones, can be very judgmental. There are good reasons not to involve children in parental relationship issues, such as infidelity. These issues need to be dealt with by parents alone, out of respect to each other. Another person says, a topic close to my heart. My husband's sister has three children, all adults now. They were all conceived by donor sperm, but we don't know if they were ever told, and we were asked not to speak about it. I feel I have knowledge that the children, adults now, don't have. One has a child on the way, and it's on my mind. My sister-in-law is very secretive about many things, and I don't want to have this knowledge if her children don't know. Well, Ashley, you're writing a book to help families navigate secrets. Can you tell me about some of your tips that you're going to share there?
Yeah, so I've been working on a book that's a little bit like a guidebook with Dr. Alex Mountain, who's an archivist at the Society for Australian Genealogists in Sydney. And so she and I both work really closely with people who are going through this process, who have found a secret and are trying to navigate it. And what we've heard from people over and over again is that they feel quite alone sometimes in this journey of having discovered a secret and then being suddenly thrown into having to figure out the best, most ethical way to deal with that. You know, how to go about it in a way that's not going to hurt other family members, but also isn't keeping things from people if that could be hurtful as well. And so we've been putting together, I guess, strategies that people who have been through this have found before, you know, what to do, how to find out if a secret is truly, how to verify it, and then how to broach the topic and who's the right person to tell and when is the right time, which can be really difficult things for people to work out.
Hopefully all the aunties out there read your book. Sue, you made a documentary about your family, as I said before. It's called The Last Goldfish, which is such a beautiful title. What do you think your dad would think about you sharing this story with everyone, given that it was kept a secret for such a long time?
I think he'd disagree with a lot of it. He'd probably say, that's not true, and, you know, stuff like that. But I also think he'd be really proud. Before he died, I did a little short piece that was called Point of Departure, and it was just a little exercise, but it was a way of getting him to start talking to me about old photographs that he still had that were nameless. So I was trying to get him to tell stories about these photographs, and I tricked him into doing this little video with me by saying that I wanted to talk about cameras and photography and his interest in photography and home movies and things like that. And he really started to open up, and a lot of that footage from that last interview that I did with him in his 80s is really core to the film in terms of revealing his fragility and his anguish over the history that he had tried to leave behind. Because the other thing with him, he not only was leaving a family behind, he was leaving a whole identity. Mm. He didn't tell me he was Jewish. He didn't tell me anything about escaping Nazi Germany. You know, he'd been in a work camp. He'd kind of escaped with his life and all that stuff. I think, you know, just if he'd said to me, I had another family, you know, I've got these two other children, it would have opened up that whole painful, traumatic history. And I think that for in our family, that was the thing that was stopping him, because he knew if he said one thing that it would lead somewhere very dark and very, you know, horrible and terrifying, because he lost most of his family. But his ability to keep that so close. It was, I don't know how he did it. I don't know if it's because he shared that sorrow with my mother. I think they were a team. I hope so. But that was the risk of undoing all the secrets, was bringing up this kind of traumatic earlier life of his.
Sue, thank you so much for sharing your story. That was filmmaker Sue Goldfish. And you also heard from Ashley Barnwell, an associate professor in sociology at the University of Melbourne, who investigates family secrets.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.